Many years ago, I picked up a used book at a seminary book sale. It was a collection of sermons by a preacher I admired very much, and I thought this was a great find. Just a couple dollars for a book I knew I would read and reread for years to come. I was in the middle of reading something else at the time, so I set it aside when I got home, knowing I would get to it soon enough. And when I did, I realized why somebody had gotten rid of it. I noticed that the last sermon in the book was shorter than all the ones that came before it, and it didn't seem finished. It stopped at a very odd place, mid-sentence even, with all sorts of loose ends left hanging. It did not seem right at all. And a quick turn to the table of contents solved the mystery. The copy in my hands was the result of a printing error, and the last 30 pages or so were missing, simply not there. It was an incomplete book. A bargain, yes, but not a very satisfying one. For a couple thousand years now, people have basically felt this way about the Gospel of Mark. It reads well enough most of the way through. It's snappy and exciting and urgent, but you get to that last page and something does not seem right. You heard the final sentence just a moment ago. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Wait a minute, a couple thousand years of people have said. That can't be all there is, because it is an awfully odd place to stop a gospel. I mean, there are so many questions still to answer. What becomes of these women, too shocked to speak about what they've just seen and heard? And what becomes of the other disciples, the ones who scattered when the going got tough during the past week? And what's going to become of this movement that Jesus began? What's going to become of the good news he proclaimed, that the kingdom of God has come near? The news that gave hope and direction to so many people. What now? There are loose ends everywhere, and the gospel almost seems to stop mid-sentence. This is kind of a nerdy thing, but the very last word in the Greek sentence is for, or because. It's not an absolutely impossible way to end a sentence, but it's a very unusual way. One translator suggests that it's best rendered with a kind of a shrug. They were afraid, you see. What kind of an ending is that? It is enough to send you back to the table of contents to see if there's a printing error to blame. And since that wasn't possible, early readers of Mark did something else. They added a couple additional endings beyond. If you go check your Bible at home, you might find them there. A few extra paragraphs where the women do, in fact, share the message, and Jesus shows up, and the disciples are commissioned and sent out, where we get something that feels more like a conventional ending. But biblical scholars across the board agree those are tacked on by folks who were uncomfortable with the original conclusion, who found it unsatisfying. The gospel really ends here with that unsettling silence. It's not a comfortable ending by any means. And I realized this past week that I have been so kind of fascinated with that and preoccupied with thinking about it every time this gospel comes up, that I've actually missed a quite remarkable promise that is right there in the text in plain sight. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, the mysterious messenger tells the women standing there at the tomb. There you will see him, just as he told you. Jesus isn't here in this damp, dark tomb. He is going ahead of you. There is a very straightforward way to hear that verse, of course. The other three Gospels all record encounters between the risen Jesus and his followers in the days after Easter. They all share stories of Jesus showing up in unexpected places beside fearful and grieving folks. On the road, in locked rooms, back by the seashore. So you can hear the promise that Jesus is going ahead to simply refer to those sorts of meetings. He's already in Galilee, and you'll see him there. That's definitely one way to hear it. But I think we can also hear a broader promise in these words, one that includes us, all these millennia later and thousands of kilometers from Galilee. Jesus has gone ahead of us and is going ahead of us in life and in death and beyond. Jesus going ahead is, of course, very familiar business. I mean, what is the very first thing he said to his would-be disciples when he found them there by the seashore? Follow me. They spent lots of time in his company doing just that, following him as he healed and taught and challenged and gathered and embraced. It's one way of understanding our ongoing task as Christians still, following Jesus here and now with our lives. The notion of Jesus going on ahead does take on a new dimension during Holy Week, because here he went ahead of his followers into terrible new territory. He faced the very worst of human experience: betrayal, loneliness, abandonment, sorrow, violence, and finally a very real death. Jesus has gone ahead into all of that, which means that when we face terrible challenges or losses in our lives, we know Jesus has been there too. You can't overstate how important this has been for Christians through the ages, and how important it still is. I recently learned of a church-run homeless shelter that has images of the Stations of the Cross encircling the common room. The images are small, simple black and gray pictures the size of postcards, and they show Jesus in key moments from the last days of his life: praying alone, being denied, being mocked, falling under the weight of his cross. The people who come through this shelter have certainly been through their own experiences of humiliation and struggle and loss. And here is a Jesus who knows something about that. This Jesus isn't some distant deity up in the clouds, staying high and dry and far from human experience. No, he has walked where they are walking right now, and that matters. This Jesus has gone ahead of them. Jesus has gone ahead of his followers all along, and the remarkable news of Easter morning is that he is still going ahead. That shouldn't be the case, of course. The religious and political leaders did their best to make sure he could go no further. His story was supposed to end with a horrible public execution. The male disciples have presumably given up hope. They are nowhere to be found. And the brave and faithful women who come to the tomb in the early hours of the morning clearly expect nothing out of the ordinary. They expect to find nothing more than a body to tend to. What they find instead is an empty space and a messenger and a promise. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Jesus has always been ahead of the disciples, but this resurrection business is something new. In going ahead, not only in life and not only in death, but actually going beyond the grave itself, Jesus has entered into God's promised future. He's gone ahead into the fullness of God's promises, and he means to bring us along. From its earliest times, the church has proclaimed that Easter isn't just one special day long ago that we keep remembering. It is the beginning of a new age in which we are now living. In raising Jesus, God has delivered a final verdict on death. It will not have the last say. It could not hold Jesus, and it will not hold us. That is not just a good story to tell. It is news that changes the world and our lives. This is the good news in which we stand, Paul told the church in Corinth in that reading we heard just a moment ago. I love that phrase. I think it means that the proclamation of the resurrection becomes the ground beneath our feet, the stable rock that supports us through life. I think it also means that this is news to dwell with, to spend time with, to marinate in. Hang out here with the word that Jesus has gone ahead of us beyond death, demonstrating once and for all that nothing, nothing can separate us from the life and love of God. As we do that, as we stand in this good news over time, we might find all sorts of things begin to look different. We might find that some things that once appeared so important somehow begin to seem less so. And others that we once overlooked now seem to call for our attention. We might find fear loosing its hold on us and hope taking root in new ways. And I think we might even find ourselves a little more open to Mark's strange Easter story. This gospel cuts off with an open-ended future, all sorts of questions and unknowns and loose ends. Life is that way, right? And Easter doesn't change that, not in the gospel account and not in our lived experience. But all those questions and unknowns and loose ends might seem a little less threatening when we know that Jesus has gone ahead of us. He's been here. He knows our life and its contingencies. He knows our struggles. He knows our death. He has gone ahead of us there, and he has gone ahead beyond to the fullness of life in God that is our destiny too. And when we know that, when we know that Jesus has already blazed the trail, we may find we can face the unknowns of our lives and our world with less fear, less worry, a deeper sense of trust. There is so much we don't know, friends. We don't know just what tomorrow will bring, what turns our paths will take, what joys and challenges we will face, what new following we will be called into. But today we celebrate what we do know. The tomb is empty, and Christ has gone ahead of us in life and in death and beyond. Go we now where Christ has led, we sang in that familiar hymn today, following our exalted head. Made like Christ, we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Today we stand firm in that promise, firm in that good news. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.